This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to the Absolute DC Podcast. If you couldn't tell, this is neither Aaron nor Ronnie. It's Martin, and I'm crashing. Ronnie just attended the Batman panel at C2E2, and he asked me to share it with everyone. Since he has no access to a computer, I figured I could. So without further ado, here's the Batman panel from C2E2 2018. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with Ronnie, he is at Rumbar316, Aaron is at Aaron Isbell, and of course the podcast is at DC_Absolute. Enjoy the panel, let the guys know what you think.
Thank you for coming out today to our Batman panel. Woo! I'm Damian Fritz, I'm the editor of Batman, or as some people call me, the court jester to Tom King. Who is going to be the first person I bring up here today? Our writer for Batman, Tom King. Also writing the book called Mr. Mariner. And one of our Batman artists, Joel Jones, is joining us today. Also currently working on Batman is Tony Daniel. Clay Mann, who's been drawing lots of art. And then we also have a little book called Batman White Knight, which is written and drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy. And he's writer of various books at DC. He's written Grayson, he's written Nightwing, he's currently running Green Lanterns, and Batman Preludes to the Wedding, Tim Seeley, everyone! As an editor, I am a very lucky fellow. I have a deep bench here. I don't actually have John's book, which is good because he's probably too much for me, but.
What does it say about me?
You're a pushover. So we have lots of stuff going on with Batman. Did anybody pick up Batman 44 this week? As you know, we have a cover, we have a wedding coming up, so we decided to, you know, have Bruce Wayne trying on his tuxedo. And that's covered by Mikel Janine, who's also one of our regular artists on the book.
That cover's so weird because I feel like he's like staring at his crotch just a little bit.
Don't worry, he's got a lot to live up to. And then the second cover is by Joel L. Jones. Yeah. You know, she has prints of that cover at her artist's alley table for sale, and there's also a silver foil version of that cover at Designs. Do you have something to pick up this weekend?
Yeah, I already got mine.
But the issue itself was split between Mikel and Joel on art, and we get a dual storyline where Selina Kyle is trying on dresses in her own unique way, while we also enjoy moments from the past of Batman and Catwoman. As you can see here, old scenes from Batman, redrawn by Mikel Janine. Tom, tell us a bit, what was sort of the thinking behind one of those dual narratives?
Well, first of all, thank you guys for coming out. I just did the Superman panel, and you guys are much cooler. Yeah. You know, right? So what I love about Batman 44 is I came into DC in the beginning, and then in sort of the New 52 and the DC YOU era, and at that time, I would propose kind of stuff like this, where we talked about sort of the history of Batman and use old images and have the trunks and they're like, no. We're all about the future. Comics is about the future. It's about the cutting edge. It's about pushing. And after Rebirth, and after sort of the revolution of this company, the revolution in DC, where we sort of realized that what makes these characters modern is the connection to what makes them classic, that those two things are not fighting with each other, but they're actually going in the same direction. And so this is an issue that I've always wanted to do, where it's an issue about modern, and it has the most beautiful, the best art that the modern comics can provide, which with Joel Jones. But it's also a tribute to 78 years of history of these characters have been together, and 78 years of people reading it, and 78 years of people writing it, and that's what I love about it. Because to me, what makes comic really fun, what makes it actually work, is that it doesn't quite make sense, it doesn't quite add up, it's crooked and weird, and it's all about different writers and their egos and different everything. But when I look at my own life, it's not a story, it's not a narrative from A to B, it doesn't quite make sense, it's crooked and weird, and it looks like different writers wrote it at the time. And I think continuity becomes sort of a metaphor where I was all get through how we're not the same person day to day, but somehow there's something all of us that's true to who we once were. And so that's what I did with Beautiful Ones.
So this is the first time actually in a while we've seen the bat and the cat separate, one of them going off on their own. What were you sort of thinking of in terms of Catwoman sneaking out at night to find the
Joel? I stole that from Joel. That's the key. We had a meeting with Joel, and you know, I usually write comics where like sad people look out the window and cry a lot. And I'm doing this thing with Batman where I'm trying to do something different, where like, oh, happy people who are together and enjoy each other. And like I meet Joel and say, like, hey, what do you think when like happy people are together? He's like, yeah, it's great, it's great. But don't forget, Catwoman's a fucking burglar. That's exactly right. That's what I had sort of been missing. I never want to say that Catwoman by marrying Batman is changing. I don't think marriage is sort of about changing yourself to match someone else. Marriage is sort of about accepting who you are and accepting your partner. And so the Catwoman's not marrying Batman to stop being a burglar. That's who she is. That's part of herself. And so that's what this issue is about. Sort of, it's the Catwoman who's getting married is not a new reformed Catwoman. This is Catwoman. This is 70 years of stealing shit, and she's still that person.
So, actually, in the next slide here, we do have Catwoman's dress, for those who haven't seen it. Joel, what was it to you that, why did you want to design the dress, and what was your approach to figuring out what this should look like?
I found out about the engagement, and I wasn't sure if it would be, you know, I didn't know where the story was going to go at the time. But I kind of, like, pinned you down at San Diego, and if anybody designed the dress, I have to do it.
You think you were tired of this?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, she's such a complicated, interesting character to me that I just couldn't see her. It would break my heart to see her in a really boring white dress. So I wanted it to be something interesting that would complement her personality and kind of reflect who she is as a character.
And so what was it then that you, like, can you give us some kind of scenes, like, what some of the details were, why you chose certain shapes?
No, I was just sitting around doodling and I just sort of liked the way it looked. There was no real thought. I mean, I knew I wanted black lace, like, for sure, and then a little bit of white because it's a wedding dress and I wanted that to be obvious. But I just kind of was playing around. I did six different designs for all like six different types of weddings. And then kind of boiled down the components that I liked into one dress.
It is such a cliche, but sometimes cliches are cliches. I took your designs, like my dinner table, and showed it to my daughter, and who was 6'7". And you've never seen a daughter happier than like, hey, which design do you like better? This could possibly be Catwoman's wedding dress. Oh my, her eyes, like, I have an interest in this. Like, it was like the best dad moment ever.
Yeah, she had really great feedback.
Yeah, of course. Which was let Joel do her fucking job.
There was a point at DC when we were all looking at the designs where I was like, hey, this is a bunch of dudes in a room talking about dresses. I don't think that we should probably find a different type of expert to help us out on this. So what's your feeling about the Batwoman or the Batman Catwoman relationship?
What? My feeling about it?
Yeah, like,
what's
your take? We're waiting for your approval.
Yes.
So this issue came out this week. Issue 45 comes out on May 2nd, and that is the return of Tony Daniel to Batman. One question, Tony is actually inking this issue himself. Sam Neill did not end up helping out, so that's also a big deal. When was the last time you inked it yourself?
Scott O'Malley. shoot. A long time ago. It's been a while.
And when was the last time you actually were on the Batman?
It's been about 5 years. So, you know, I was on collectively for about 5 years, which is pretty long. Did I say 5 years off? No, okay. So I'm on for another 5 years.
Right.
So it's seven. Instead of the panel, is
what drew you back to it this time? Like, what makes you come back to that?
Just begging. Why did I want to come back?
Yeah.
You know, when I was doing Batman before, I was, you know, first I was writing, I was working with Grant Morrison writing, and that was a terrific experience, working with like a master. And after that, I started to write Batman for myself. You know, I started writing Batman post RIP for a few years. And, splitting duties between writing and drawing was very fun and rewarding, but, you know, I wanted to kind of come back, you know, as just the artist and devote 100% of my, you know, efforts to just the art, and I'm very critical of my own work, and so when I look back at my old Batman work, I'm like, oh, if I put in 100% on the art, this would have come out better, you know, whatever. I'm always hard on my, you know me, right? I'm always redrawing stuff and whatnot, but I just felt like there was something left unfinished for me with it, and I always wanted to return, and I just wanted the timing to be right, you know. So
obviously there's a little preview here. We don't see Batman, we see a version of Hal Jordan and a version of Booster Gold. Tom, can you give us sort of a hint of what
the word we're announcing now? Green Lantern's dead.
That's right. Yeah, give us an idea what's going on here, whatever you can expect from the next arc when you're doing with someone.
So I was thinking about this morning, like, I did not know how to describe this issue without spoiling it, and so I'm just going to spoil it. Because you guys came out here and you filled the rooms. You deserve to know something you don't know, right? What happens is Booster Gold, who is a very nice and concerning friend, and doesn't always make the best choices. He into the future, he wants to get a wedding gift for the Batcat wedding, which is a very nice thought to have. And he says, well, what do I get the man who has everything? And then he remembers that old Superman story about the man who has everything, what do you get him? And if you've read this, there's a famous Superman story where Superman gets him a sort of gift. He gets a disease or a plant that makes him remember what would happen if Krypton didn't blow up, and it turns out that the world's kind of crappy and fascist and horrible, and then Superman wakes up. And Booster thinks the lesson from this is, oh, that would be great, I'll give that to Batman. I'll save his parents in the past, and then he'll realize the world sucks, and he'll realize that his parents dying actually gave the world hope, because it gave the world Batman. So what you see here is we're going to live for three years, in a world where Bruce's parents were saved and Batman was never born. And it sucks.
Yeah, it goes all over the place. It's really trippy. Tony, how was it to draw? Like, you've never drawn Booster Gold before,
I've never drawn Booster Gold. I didn't know much about Booster Gold, to be honest, but I figured him out really quickly.
And actually, the next slide, we have an image of a version of Batman. So Bruce Wayne doesn't become the Batman, but you'll find out that somebody else
did. I will tell you.
That's
Dick Grayson.
Okay.
That's Dick Grayson.
Yeah, that's all
spoiled
there.
Well, the idea is you guys did it.
I don't believe
us. Because I have a Grayson with Tim over there, and one of our observations in the very beginning was Dick is good because it's a tribute to Batman, because he has the exact same origin. His parents died, but instead of being raised by himself, he was raised by Batman. That's why he's gentle and good, and it's true to what sort of sharing that experience. But this is Dick Grayson, whose parents died, who wasn't raised by Batman. And unlike Batman, whose parents were killed with guns, Dick Grayson's parents were killed with acid. So he has no problem with guns like Batman does. So this is sort of a new kind of Batman. This is Dick without Bruce and with a lot of bullets.
And Tony, what did you pull in as influences for designing this version?
I just wanted him to be, you know, really rugged and rough around the edges. You know, I saw him less, you know, clean looking, like our Bruce Wayne Batman. You know, I was kind of thinking like a rogue warrior type of guy, and, you know, stubbly face. You know, we've seen Batman as stubble before, but you know, I was kind of and we've seen this type of I want to give, you know, props to Tomei Omori, who's my colorist, and he's just like ate my life. He's incredible. He was in Spain, and we touched face all the time, and he really delivers a lot of the style that you see in the
comics. Yeah, I really like how he does the sky.
The sky. I just wanted some red skies. You know, a lot of times, you know, in the past, you know, we kind of go to that, you know, so that Batman pops out from all the darkness, and I kind of don't mind the darkness, Tomeo did this, like, a greenish color, like you see there in the Batman page, you know, with really nice color combination and color palette, and the whole series just looks, the whole art is just these wonderful colors.
And we'll have some great colorists on our team as well. Pages are colored by Tori Belair, Mikhail Pages by June Chung. We're very blessed to have an amazing colorists. And actually, we have a black and white coat showing your next cover for Batman 46. Oh no, they put the color in. So they got it.
Just did that. That's Danny Meeting, who paints it. And because now I'm running into deadline problems. So I need a few groups of saving me and get me done on time. And Danny and I are friends, and so he did some really good work there. I really love it. And again, the colors just amazing pop. But then we have Catwoman escaping our film with Booster Gold with a beard. And that's a lot of fun.
Well, what I love about Double Shift Batman is every two or three issues we're switching genres, we're switching tones. So if you're like, oh man, Poison Ivy story is about trauma, then you get a beautiful story about a wedding, then you get a horrible story about a possible future. And so we're just like, whatever's coming at you, the next thing is going to be entirely different. And this, I'm really proud of this story. It's awesome.
Speaking of that, like, how do you approach all these different artists? What's the challenge of switching gears to individual artists on these stories?
I'm a super nerd, so like I read comics growing up, just like that's what I did. I spent all my money on comics, and my best body of pride is I can see a comic before I write it. I can look at an artist and sort of see the pages. So I try to picture. I mean, it's easy with an artist like Tony or Joel. Clay's obviously not easy, but I can see the beautiful comic they'll make, and I just try to describe it in as few words as possible in case I get it wrong.
So speaking of Clay, we have another cover to show up. The variant cover is DC Nation number 0 by Clay Mann and Tori Belair. I love this cover. So you kind of came up with an idea on your own. What was the inspiration to bring us this cover?
I told you it's hard.
I can only even remember if it was. Was it my idea? I don't remember.
You turned in a sketch and then it's like, that's people.
So did you give me the idea? I don't
remember. He accepted you. Well, you're the only person so far to draw the dress and track so well, so.
I was excited to draw that dress. I really liked it.
And as you see, we have pages from the story available. So DC Nation 0 is going to be, I think it's a 25-cent comic.
You guys said it just sold a million copies?
Yeah.
It's nice stories in it.
And one of the story we have is an 8-page Joker story. And you see one of the creepiest images I've seen in a long time, Joker looking through your mail slot. So, Tom, give us a little idea of what's going on here and why this story has happened.
I've never been Joker. I've been Joker really, but he wasn't laughing. So this is modern Joker, and this is the scariest character. Joker's unlike any other character in fiction, in TV, anywhere, because he doesn't have motivations. As a writer, your job is to sort of take the different motivations of characters and connect them and make them work. That's why when we watch shows, the first thing we think we pick apart, like, oh, he wouldn't do that. Well, that doesn't make sense. That guy didn't. You have to set up things so that everyone's doing what they should do at the right time. Joker's the opposite. He doesn't care what he's doing. You could write a 12-issue series where he's just, I want to get an A the whole time, blah, 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 and he gets the A at the end of the fuck, I don't want to do this, and he walks away. Like, he doesn't have, it's not like the rest of us. There's no A to B. And so that's what the story is about. It's a Tom story. It's two guys in a room, but it's Joker and a guy named Roger. And basically, Joker finds out the wedding's gonna happen, and he knocks on just a normal guy's door, and he comes in, and Roger's he's a little freaked because Joker's at his door, and he asks Joker, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Well, Batman's getting married, and he's gonna invite me, and I'm waiting for the wedding invitation to arrive here," and Roger says, Batman's not getting married, and he wouldn't send you a wedding invitation, and it wouldn't come to my house. And Joker says, no, I'm sure it'll be here. He's like, first, and Roger says, well, are you going to kill me? And Joker says, no, as long as the wedding invitation comes, I won't kill you. And then they sit by the door, and they wait to see if it comes.
Joker's on your nose.
doing Scott about Bendis, his first story, which is like this huge cosmic story about the physiologists. And it's got your first preview of JLA, which is a mind-expansive story that takes place. The universe is on stage, and the whole DC universe changes. And then it's got my story, which is like two guys in a room on chairs. And it's the best fucking one.
Clay, did you ask, what was your reaction to the script you got? It was pretty dark. It's funny as hell, but it's also like you almost feel like you shouldn't be laughing at the same time.
I wasn't laughing at all two guys in a chair. It's got jokes. I still these little dad jokes from open source. Can I tell you? Can I tell you one of the jokes?
Yes! Dad jokes.
Did you guys hear the one about the envelope without Sam?
No.
You wouldn't get it.
It's sort of a life story of what if Joker, when this character was sane, would he be even more of a threat to Batman than he ever was? And yeah, so you don't kind of run away. I've heard multiple reprints of every issue, which is crazy, though. So thank you guys for supporting that. Let's negotiate my contract. Screw you. Like, it's just going to go down like all of our other books. So it leveled off that they were expecting it to dip down, and once it got nice and low, then they were willing to talk about my contract. And the good thing is, I never went low. So after, you know, 7 issues of being, you know, like top 5 or top 10, now they're like, okay, I guess we need to talk about your contract. I wanted to have this conversation 3 months ago. You guys thought that the sales were going to drop, so.
Keep that in mind, not at the end of this miracle.
I don't think it's fair because Sean, every time he gets to work, is one of the best artists in comics. I still just can't play man. I don't know.
Yeah, but Sean, you have some like interaction with fans. Like you can get feedback on Twitter and give your messages on it.
Yeah.
Like, what have the fans taught you things about your own work that's made you look at it differently?
So a lot of the book is, it talks about politics, but it's not political. So when it started to come out, I tried to get out on Twitter and explain to people, like, I'm not here to try an X, it's not like punk rock Jesus. I just want to talk about what if Gotham was hit with politics like we were hit with. And, when I pitched the idea last year, I just said, I don't know. Not cut out the politics. But after the election, they were like, yeah, I think it's
And what we see here is a variant cover that you did as well. You're doing your own covers and your variants. What do you do to make sure they're different? Do you have a scheme that you're working with?
Yeah, so I use my variants as like character covers. So if you guys remember the old Zorro comics, you had like a head-to-toe picture of Zorro with a plain color background, so really easy. So I try to use every variant to highlight a different character, just to make it bright and colorful and just kind of fun. Like, this is for issues 7.
Yeah.
And Montoya isn't really in it, but I thought that I really wanted to do something with her looking badass in the car. So yeah, there you go.
You haven't even cosplay yet? I'm assuming you're gonna do a lot of the old Jokers by San
Diego. I have heard of a guy who's dressed as Batman with a pink robe on. That was just a mistake I made in issue 5. Is in the manor, and he's got his scary villains out of his house. He can't show up dressed as Batman, so he shows up dressed in a pink robe with nothing on underneath. You can see like his bare chest and his legs, whatever, and he's looking all hot. And then, you know, 2 seconds later, Nightwing shows up, and Nightwing's like, you stay here, Mr. Wayne, we'll take care of this. And Bruce is basically like, I don't think so. And he does this, and he's wearing the costume underneath. But I drew that panel first, and I forgot that he was actually not wearing the panel. So now I'll miss this whole idea of like a pink bathrobe that has the costume underneath. It's a guy walking around with Batman in a pink robe, and that's apparently what's behind
that. And you're known as a gearhead. You designed like a lot of different battlefields for this. Like, how did that feel to get to create your own army of battlefields?
Cards on the table. I mean, I just wanted to know all the battlefields, and I had to add a plot to it at some point. Yeah, the setup at the end was like, there's seven tunnels going to the secret island. There's seven battlefields. Like, you know, how fortunate is that? What are the characters driving? Like, the Bergen battlefield and the 66. So I just tried to think of the logical reason why that would happen. And yeah, I think people seem to think that, so that's good.
I think there's a preview page coming up from issue 8. You might spoil something. Sorry to get ahead of you.
So wait, the cover for 8?
That is cover for 8, yeah. Why is there underwear at the table?
Every
panel comes with
underwear.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the Superman banning on underwear. We have something for you that's our balance, not on underwear.
Because the Batman panel, it's, you're so excited you put your shorts.
So yeah, here is, I guess, what you're saying in the spoiler, which is also an awesome looking action sequence.
Oh yeah, it's got a tumbler in there, and it reveals Starbucks Rocket, Batman, of course, it's in the 89. My boy is in like a golden age Batman deal. That whole scene was really fun to draw. The first half of the last issue is basically a big action scene. It's a super oversized issue, 28 pages, I think, to save a little price of $3.99.
And you think this is an area they will visit again? Because this has gotten such a great response, you can get a lot of stories. Like, I think they've run out about the Sean Murphy universe.
They have the Murphy universe.
Do you need some more on the finding things?
I've got a contract negotiation.
I've got, yeah.
We'll have an announcement in New York Comic Con.
So hard to do cars and make them look dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a real energy to the cars, and that's not easy to do.
Well, so the drawing
card. What happened is what I want to know.
Cardboard. A lot of the anime or manga I read, those are really great drawing cards.
Those Smith cats, the inside.
Yeah, the speed lines. Like, if you have an anchor that can handle speed lines really well, and it kind of helps move things around a lot more in the comic. Like, how to make a car look like it's being thrown, how the wheel is, you know, in the rear well. If you enjoy cars a lot, it's easier. Like, I don't know if I would be good at drawing wedding dresses.
Obviously, you draw them down. You love wedding dresses. No. You can't tell. It's amazing.
I have a page of Joel Wells from a while back where you drew a nice taxi cab. So, I feel like, it seems like you draw cars. You love to draw cars because you're pretty good at it.
Yeah, my dad's a mechanic, so I go around cars. But yeah, I'm still learning.
Awesome. So coming up in May, in June, we have a 5-week series, Batman Prelude to the Wedding, which Tim Seeley has joined us to write. 5 stars. Super cover by Raphael Albuquerque that connects all 5 issues together. Just see here.
And it features lots of paint for Batman.
Yes. So it's essentially like the concept here is, what if there was a wedding reception and the villains showed up? But the stories are about something else. So we brought it on. We wanted to do specials where one hero versus one villain. How did you go about like putting together what that would be, and what does it mean for the overall story?
Well, the approach was, Tom and I worked together at Grayson, so I knew I could just call him up and ask him what he was doing and what he wanted, you know, to fill out the rest of the story. And he mentioned, there's all these moments I didn't get to write because I had to fill it with jokes being crazy, poking people's faces and their eyes out and stuff. So we decided that the way that we would do this, instead of, I love the idea that there's a Batman reception and everybody's slugging it out, but it's not really a story. So the story became, basically, the Bat family is reacting and basically emotionally the way you would to a family member getting married. And so there's chaos, and then in the middle of that, the Joker is dropped in, and basically he's the sort of crazy bomb that pushes all the villains into different directions. So at the same time that, you know, Nightwing is having questions of, am I going to be best man, or is he going to ask Superman? And Damian is wondering, you know, how would he like to have Catwoman as his new mom? All these questions that would come up for a wedding. At the same time, Joker's made Riddler go, you know, run around trying to figure out where Joker is and tell Ra's al Ghul these things. And so all these characters are bumping into each other in the midst of this giant, crazy wedding. And it felt like a real-life wedding, and that's weddings in real life, as you know, never go as you plan, and they're always crazy, and there's always drama, and so it's perfect for a Batman story.
Yeah,
and
the same was... it was one of the, when I first sort of proposed this, I mean, it's a 100 issue arc, so I first proposed this story beat of this potential back cat wedding to Dan DeDio, like the guy who's responsible for actually selling the comics and publishing it. He knows what I do in Mr. Miracle, where I'll do a whole issue about someone having a baby. And he's like, you can't fucking do that in Batman. You can't do just an issue of a bachelor party and an issue of a bachelorette party. And I was like, oh, I would never do that. Like, crossing out my outline. But Clay and I slipped through one double date issue under his radar, which was nice. And, but we're finally getting near the event, and Dan calls me on the phone, and I was like, hey, what's going on? I was like, you won't believe these incredible, gory stories I've done. He's like, where's my bachelorette party? Where's my bachelorette party? And I was like, Tim Seeley. And so that's where all those, there's just so much story there, just everyone needs to react to this, and so I got one of my favorite writers, or I didn't get it, but they hired one of my favorite writers to do it.
Oh, thanks, Tom.
So, artist-wise, we have Brad Walker, Travis Moore, Minky Jung, Javi Fernandez, and Sammy Bosby on the main stories, and each issue has two pages, which you're seeing things from here by Otto Schmidt. So we got a really great group of artists to come in, and people who worked on specific characters give us a great take on them. And the last issue is going to be Harley Quinn versus Joker, because she's essentially upset that Joker is trying to mess with a good relationship because he doesn't understand what it means.
So then we kind of get our Korean revenge movie story with Harley Quinn going after Joker, like a crazy pinky violence, you know, movie where you get to see Harley totally unleashed and just terrorizing the Joker. Like she keeps catching him and then torturing him and letting him go. So it's like it's pretty cool. I'm pretty happy with it.
Sean, you have a central Harley Quinn Joker relationship in your book, don't you, as well?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Neo Joker, the idea that split Harley into two Harleys and Joker never noticed the change. So I created Marion Drews, who is accidentally sucked into Joker's vortex, and she knows it was unhealthy, and she, you know, she admits she's got, you know, tendency issues, and yeah, I really seem to like it, so. And I think that the whole civil war between Harley people, which is the better Harley class than the new one, now everyone can be happy, so, right. Twice the amount of action figures.
So, Tom, we have Batman 50 coming up, and we have Mikel's cover for that here.
Joelle is torturing so many artists. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there any teasers, any spoilers? What can we expect kind of in the months leading up to, while Tim's doing the preludes, what's going to be happening in like Batman 48 and 49?
Can I share some of the artists?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, some of the artists that are going to be in this issue, Mikel and I, Batman's a 100 issue story, and some of the greatest artists in comics are coming off and off, but since the beginning it's been me and Mikel, we were going together, and we'll do hopefully Batman 103. I haven't told him about this, but I'm sure we agree. So Mikel is drawing us sort of the main story of the wedding, because I feel like that's sort of the spine of the book. But the ancillary part of it, the celebration of what this is and what these characters are, we're bringing in some other artists, and we've got, if you haven't heard these guys also, they're Frank Miller, you guys know him?
No.
It's Jim Lee, you guys know Jim Lee? Andy Huber is coming on. Jose Garcia Lopez is coming on. Everyone
everyone who's worked on the book. So it's not just a celebration of the wedding. For me, it's a celebration. This has never been. They've never double shipped a Batman book. It means a lot. It means a lot to the industry. And so we've done it for. And we're going to try to do it for so 3 or 4 years, maybe 100. So this is sort of it's a little personal, but it's a sort of team celebration. We're doing something that's never been done before, and so we're fucking halfway there. And you're up at mile 13 of the marathon, and you're just starting to get really tired. But you got to finish it. It's going to be worth it. So it's a celebration both of the wedding and these people, and also like just trying to bring A-list artists and both A-list ideas to you on a bi-weekly basis.
Yeah. So on your way out, you're going to get a save the date card. Not underwear, but the save the date cards that invite you to the wedding. On the back has a checklist of all these comics so you know which ones to pick up and in what order they're coming out.
That's cool.
The big one you haven't heard of yet. Of course, I mean, anybody here yesterday, they're going to do a Catwoman statue that Joel designed. That we decided to do an ongoing series starting in July.
Fucking
Next question.
Are we ever going to see about the three jokers that go out and want to know about?
Talk about it. I've been waiting and waiting, so I'll just let know.
It is underway. JFK Bach is working on pages now. There are some scripts and stuff, so I am now responsible for chasing that down, so we're going to make it happen, but it's coming.
To do